Some good shit, Maynard. Some good shit, Maynard.
Why do you say that?
My dad said it.
I know, but what, where's it come from?
I don't know. I thought it was just one of my dadisms, one of my dad's dadisms. But when I worked at the city, there was this dude that I was climbing out of the hole after having fixed a pipe.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, that's some good shit, Maynard. So
who is Maynard?
I think Maynard is from, I think it was a cartoon or something. Not a cartoon, a commercial. This one's going fast. But it's just anytime I'd comment on something being not appealing, it was always good shit, Maynard. Oh, that's some good shit, Maynard. I have to look it up. Good shit, Maynard. Oh, it's good stuff, Maynard. Let's see.
Fortified. Good stuff, Maynard.
Can I have some?
Sure. So why don't you show me that beer first?
Are you sure you want to see it?
Mm-hmm. Let's see, is there really... Oh, there's really a fucking bear at the door.
Close the door. Hold a meal, hot cereal.
That fucking bat should listen to his kid.
We gotta go this way.
I gotta go...
Upside down, inside up. Boy, you turned me.
So you're saying we gotta Spider-Man kiss this joint?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I gotta say, I know you can't do the Spider-Man kiss often, but when you do it, whew, it is some pleasurable kissing.
Is it only pleasurable because of the movie?
No.
If
it's because the way you're able to put your tongues together.
Top to top.
Yeah. So you feel all the ridges of your partner's tongue and stuff. It's all
the little
sexy and...
The scales. Oh. That fell. Your ash just fell. That one went super quick.
That was too quick. We might have to do another.
That's fine. It's been a bit.
Good bit.
It's been a good bit.
Mm.
I'm Peter Teabags, also known as Johnny B, and I'm your husband.
Sup, I'm MJ, also known as your wife.
That's cool.
Your wife, that you call me.
Hello, your wife.
Pleasure.
Oh, do you come here often? We still need to write our bit. Our sketches about the meet cutes that happen with the couple. Like, it's the same couple. They just randomly meet for the first time at certain points of their life. Like, they still have their life. They just are brushing their teeth and then both go to reach for the toothpaste at the same time. And like, sorry. Do you need this? No, go ahead. So do you brush your teeth here a lot? And then it's like a fun, you can explore how different people are at different points of their life and how they would interact for the first time.
Yeah, because we have definitely changed as individual. Like, we're completely different people than we were at
the
beginning of our marriage. Or
the amount of cells that remain from now that are still there now from back then, are any of them still there?
Nah.
Not even the inside ones?
Maybe.
Like,
evolved though.
What's the thing on cell regeneration? How often does that happen?
I don't know.
Well, that's what the people are here for.
Google it.
I don't know. That's what you're here for. No, you don't Google it. I need an answer.
I don't know the answer.
I don't want Google's answer. I want yours.
Okay, cell regeneration.
Cell regeneration. How often does every cell in your body
fly?
Man, you have a Mike Pence problem.
Don't shame me for flies staying on my head. Cell regeneration occurs every... I don't want to be, like, ridiculously off.
Just say it. It doesn't matter.
Every 7 years.
I was going to say 7 years. High five over here.
Were you really, though?
I was thinking seven. I wonder if I heard it somewhere, or maybe that's just when I heard about your taste buds, your tastes refreshing. Like, if you didn't like liver and onions 7 years ago, try it now, because it's gross still.
Hey, wanna pour me a little bit of that coffee you got?
This black coffee.
Okay.
So, as of recording right now, we have published part one of the 500 greatest albums and still have to publish part two, and then got like two others that we've recorded since then. And
where have we been?
Just being lazy about this, I guess. There are bits of depression, but like, you know, you don't want to do stuff on a Sunday morning when you don't have to if you're depressed.
Yeah, for real. Sometimes depression takes hold and you gotta go through it.
But then other times you find Shark Week. Oh my
and
god.
And it just completely revives the fuck out of you.
We have not talked about Shark Week at all on this ever. Let's get some sharks going. What is your favorite shark?
Okay. My favorite shark is obvious, though, just because we all know my favorite animal is the tiger. So the tiger shark, it's literally a tiger that is a shark. Like, they have the stripes. They're quick like tigers. They're majestic as fuck.
Opportunistic. Sneaky.
Yes. So by far, mine is tiger shark. But a close second is the great white because, like, come on.
I'm going to be honest. If I get bit by a bull shark, I'm going to be pissed.
Right. Like, if
which statistically is most likely to happen is the bull shark.
Right.
Or a reef shark. I think those are the two. Unless you're in, like, a boat crash or a plane crash out at sea, and then you're gonna get picked off by the oceanic white tips.
Ooh, the white tips.
Or was it black tips? I don't know.
I think it's white tips.
Yeah, those things are fucking scary. Like, just floating out there waiting to get rescued for a couple days. Oh no,
when
where's
did
my
that
friend?
Occur again?
World War II, I think. Like some USS Indianapolis or some shit like that.
Oh, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bit... It sank over on the in the Indian Ocean or near the Indian Ocean somewhere, but like the sailors just had to kind of wade around in the water, and then every once in a while their friends would come start getting picked off by sharks,
which would likely bring more sharks to the area.
Oh yeah, they said
so.
There were just
it was just a fucking feeding
hundreds.
Frenzy of man, that's disturbing.
There was that one shark that they were describing killing other sharks. I can't remember what it was called, but they were just describing, okay, now just picture this, you're down here, you're beyond the reach of light. And something grabs you, can't see it because it's too dark, and it drags you down and down and down.
No, I can't do it. Too terrifying.
There was that one dude that we watched one episode of I Was Attacked by Sharks or something like that. And the one person describes like being pulled all the way down to the bottom of that part of the ocean. It's like, oh, shit. And
so
then
scary.
So punching them in the nose might work, but I know that if you put your hand inside their eyeball, that kind of works a little bit, but then it also pisses them off.
I don't know how I would react, honestly.
It would be the most terrifying thing. The ocean is the scariest thing on the planet. And it's also the
biggest
thing.
But why am I so drawn to it? Why do I want to be near it?
I don't know. I wonder if I'm...
It calls me.
I wonder if after this obsession with sharks and having seen video of a shark in a part of the ocean where I was...
Right.
a great white just swimming right where I was. I mean, not when I was there. I mean... Now that I've learned, it was probably right there.
That's fucking
because there's always a shark nearby. If it's connected to the ocean, there's a shark in it. And even if it's an estuary or it's brackish or a bay, it's like there was an NPR story, I think yesterday, about there was a golf pond, like a water hazard in Australia.
Okay.
Freshwater, inland, not connected to the sea, but it had an it had an ecosystem of sharks living in it because there was a big storm and it washed a bunch of them into the lake and then they survived. God. And I think they were bull sharks.
So they're just living sharks in a lake?
Yeah, because bull sharks can have evolved to, they don't need salt water.
If that could happen, then couldn't it be said that sharks could be in swimming pools also?
I think there was one at our high school swimming pool.
Shut up.
You never heard that?
A shark?
You never heard that.
That's not real.
There was like a thing that, because that's where I used to go swimming as a kid before they built all of the family recreation centers around. A lot of the family recreation centers around with like swimming pools and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So I went to our high school. I mean, I wasn't in high school yet, but I went to that high school and I paid $3 and I swam. And if you paid $5, you could rent their diving brick. And it was just a rubber coated 5-pound brick that you could hold and that would take you down to the bottom. Or you could like throw it in and then dive down to get it and then bring it back up.
That seems ridiculous.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was the coolest thing that you have ever seen. But there was a rumor that there was a shark in that pool because over by the diving board, you know, down by where the swimming racing platforms were, where they would dive off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right underneath that diving board there's a mirror under there. Like it's down 4 feet deep or something. Like you can't really see it from the whatever, but we dive down there and like swim and look at it. And because most kids can't hold their breath that long underwater, it's like, oh, what was it? What'd you see? Oh, it's a window and you could see a shark in there. And we keep it there. So that was like an ongoing thing that,
I never heard that.
That is crazy. That I spent a lot of time at that pool. It was one of those.
We had our own pool, so I didn't go there often.
I remember they used to have payphones in front of that pool, and I used to do the 1-800 collect thing. Call, it's me. I'm done. So pick me up.
Yeah. I did that at Valley Fair Mall a lot.
Oh, Valley Fair Mall was the place to do it. Usually the payphones right by the video games.
Uh-huh.
The keyhole used to be over there, and I'd go over there and look at and laugh at the fake poop.
What?
The keyhole. You don't remember the keyhole? It was a novelty gift store. It moved later, but it's like Spencer's, but it was like a local owned novelty gag shop. You could buy stink bombs there. My brother once bought some cigarette loads to put it in my mom's cigarette so that when she lit it, it got to a certain point and then
wow. Wow.
I remember that one going off. It was early in the morning. She was reading a newspaper out there at the kitchen table, and she was so pissed.
Yeah, I'd be a bit furious.
Can you imagine Although if you did that to a joint, it would be a lot of wasted weed there.
Yeah, I'd be fucking pissed. Don't waste my weed.
Speaking of wasting weed, what's with a spliff? What are you putting tobacco in it for?
Why would you do that?
I don't know. A spliff that's what they do, though.
Maybe it tastes good together? Well, I mean, but those are for people who like tobacco.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember what color the carpet was in the arcade area of the movie theater at the Valley Fair Mall?
No, I didn't go to the arcade often.
Oh, that's where I lived.
I
didn't have money. Movies. I just walked around. Yeah, and
I never
at them.
Had money. So why?
For a while, my uncle ran the pretzel place in that mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go walk around the mall handing out with a tray of pretzels cut up, and I'd hand out samples for people and say, oh yeah, we're over here at pretzel time, blah blah blah, and then they'd give me $5 to go get a movie, or I'd watch the movie for $1, and then it might have been a little bit more than $5, because this is the same thing I got every time. It was their meal deal thing, and it came in like a little cardboard box. There's a tiny popcorn, and then a thing of BCs that were like M&Ms, but not quite,
mm-hmm.
and a soda pop. And I think the soda pop usually came in like one of those cups that was reusable.
Right.
Which, it's like you're buying dishes at that point.
Fantastic.
No, I'm just using it for the ramekin.
Okay, so one time I was shopping and I buy these creme brulees from the store that come in this like nice ramekin. It was a nice ramekin dish, and the creme brulee was fine. Like, it wasn't anything special, but a lady next to me asked, oh, is that good? And I was like, I don't know, I just buy it for the ramekin.
She gave you the most confused look, like, wait, why don't you just buy a ramekin?
Oh. I don't know why I don't just buy a ramekin. It probably would have been...
Because what the fuck am I going to do with a ramekin?
I put my butter in it.
True. Or that's the one we bought that was just a ramekin.
Mm-hmm.
The one we bought that had the creme brulee in it now contains loose change and keys. Old keys that we don't know what they
and
go to.
Cards.
And occasionally our rings when we're using lotion.
See, I needed that.
I mean, what else do you got?
I hope that lady thinks of me often and just is like, remember that one time that lady was buying creme brulee for the dishes?
Did you guys have a junk drawer going up? I mean, I know, but...
We had a junk house. Yeah, of course. Everybody did.
So I put a glob of spit on this joint because it was burning unevenly, so hopefully it works. A person at a dispensary told me that once.
Oh.
That was just a growly bit from Rev.
There are people who don't have junk drawers. Like, I remember I worked with a person. We've had them over for board games often.
Must be nice.
Yeah. I made a comment about, you know how that you have that chair in your room that
collects the laundry?
It's not for sitting.
It's for laundry.
It's for my clothes to sit when I might wear them again or when I might
put them away.
So yeah, there are just people who don't have junk drawers and
that's impressive, I gotta say.
Where's our junk drawer?
Right here. Right inside the door.
Okay. Our junk drawers are a little more organized than junk drawers we've had in the past, because in the past it was a junk drawer for everything. This one mostly just has those books from things we buy that we'll never read.
Yeah, you know what we do have though is a junk basket. Like where I put the mail, and that's just filled with junk. I don't even know what's in it.
Hey, come here. Right now, you. Yeah, that basket looks nice and cute until we fill it up.
I like go through it every 3 months.
A guy I grew up with had a sock box. He had just didn't know where to, like, didn't like putting his socks together. Didn't have, most of them didn't have matches, so he just had a giant box of socks. And I was like, look at all my socks. And oh, so many, many socks.
That's a lot of socks stacked in a box.
Look at all these socks. I can't even believe it all. I can't even believe
Spider-Man it. Ooh. Ooh.
I can't even think about wearing them, let alone even begin to count them all. Anyway, yeah, and then I used to think that we had to cut a lot more of these silences out. And then I watched Curtis Connors' podcast on YouTube, and oh my god, he just kind of
leaves it there, huh?
He just, I mean, he's also Curtis Connor.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
To you?
Yeah, for real. Take me.
Just, can you change the mullet? I hate the mullet. I don't like a mullet.
You want to finish that off?
I will finish that off. One of the Shark Week shows was Jackass.
Oh yeah.
What did you think that, I know that you're not a Jackass fan. What did you think of the Jackass Shark Week?
I believe I hated the first one. Or was it the second one I hated?
We only watched the second one. They showed clips of the first one with him getting attacked. Right. One of their friends gets attacked by a shark the first Jackass Shark Week by jumping over sharks and falling into them. Like, what, you landed on a shark, it's going to bite you.
Yeah, so.
And, like, he doesn't hold animosity to it, but he's scared of them.
Oh, I remember my feelings on it. So, at first, I was really annoyed because they were just making him get back in the water, and you could tell he wasn't ready.
They're pushing him a little hard.
Yeah, to get back in the water. But then when they actually did it and they were all like really supportive and like, hey, we're here with you, like, you got this, and they just, you could tell they really do love each other, these guys. Like, they love the work they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're there for one another. They genuinely felt bad. Like, you could tell Johnny Knoxville felt shitty that he got bit.
Yeah. I think they weren't there to hurt themselves. They're just like, what if I do this?
And yeah. And like, Johnny Knoxville does that trap where they have like this mechanism that bites down like a shark,
like a dog bite suit.
Yeah. And he does that and was like, fuck.
Would you ever wear one of those dog bite suits? Different conversation, because
no.
It's me.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I would be so scared. What if it misses? I know that those dogs are not going to miss, but what if it misses? Also, I don't think dogs should be trained to be weapons.
Yeah, I don't want to be in that situation. Like I don't, I never want to fear a dog, because when you fear dogs, they react to that. So,
oh my god,
a dog's coming at me like that, I'm gonna be scared. Like, I don't know.
So
look at our happy girl, though. Oh, baby.
One time I went to pick up a kid from their friend's house, and the friend lives out in a rural area out on the res, and they have a lot of dogs.
Yeah.
And I got there and it was dark. It was so dark and there's no lights around. And immediately the car was swarmed by these, by like a pack of dogs. Yep. These dogs don't know me, so I did not get out of the car. Because one time I was out there delivering Postmates like super late at night.
Yeah.
And it was the deepest into the res that I'd ever been. And like there were, I have a good sense of direction. I did not know where the fuck I was without GPS. But I got all the way out there. I delivered this thing. And on the way back, there was this dog that like is just standing in the middle of the road. And I slow down so I don't hit it. And then it doesn't move. And then I go to like slowly get around it. And it starts coming at me. And it jumped.
He's in the car.
It jumped at my driver's side door to bite me, to bite my car while it was moving past. Like, oh my God, this was a terrifying dog. I don't think these dogs would have. I think they seemed friendly. They were just very curious about me. But I was not going to take that chance.
Yeah, that friend does have a lot of dogs. I think they're all nice, though. They're just super interested in who's coming around.
But it was fun. It was fun to sit there and fear Cujo situation. Have you ever seen Cujo?
I actually haven't.
Mm-mm. Do you think you ever will?
Probably not.
Would you ever read the book?
I'd try it, probably.
Have you ever read a Stephen King book?
No.
Not a single? Pet Sematary?
Nope.
The Shining?
Mm-mm.
The Stand?
Mm-mm.
It?
Fuck no.
The Langoliers?
That's interesting. Why haven't I read any of Stephen King?
You weren't a horror person. You never really were. It wasn't your deal.
Yeah. It's just like my nightmares are already terrifying. I don't need to add.
The only of his big books that I've read were Pet Sematary, The Langoliers, The Green Mile. The Green Mile was fun. You'd like The Green Mile.
Maybe that's where I should start.
The Green Mile, I actually read it. It was originally published in serial form. Like, they would come out with, like, 100 pages at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a big deal because it was hearkening back to, like, the book that I'm reading now, The Brothers Karamazov. Karamazov? I don't know. Some Russian name. By Dostoevsky. It was originally published in serial form, too.
Cool.
So it's, like, a thing in literature, but it, oh yeah, each book, there was, I had like, I think there were like 6 to 8 of them, I can't remember, but I had like all of them on my little bookshelf, and it was, I was reading them as
what
they were
a
new.
Nerd.
Oh, I fucking loved it. I remember reading about the Tom Hanks character. He's describing having a urinary tract infection, and it's hard for him to pee. And then after he encounters John Coffey, he like John Coffey grabs his dick one time, just like grabs his junk, and and then they like beat him for it because he's a prisoner and they're guards, and that's what guards do. They beat prisoners. That's what they enjoy doing. Sorry, friend who's a prison guard. Just stop beating prisoners, maybe. But then that night, he goes home, and he, in the middle of the night, gets up and goes and stands on his back porch and just pees into the wind. And it's just wonderful and amazing. And then now you can picture, I don't know if, I think they do that in the movie. I haven't seen the movie in a long time. I should watch it again because it's good. Percy Whitmore do a dance. Listen to him squishing in his pants. Percy Whitmore's the mean prison guard. And he's like the one who's cruel and like doesn't wet down the sponge on this one guy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who sings the song Percy Whitmore do a dance. Listen to him squishing in his pants.
Mm-hmm.
John Coffey grabs him because he's mean or something. Oh, he stomped on John Coffey's pet. He stomped on somebody's pet mouse.
Aw, come on.
So John Coffey like grabs him. That's the Michael Clark Duncan character. And he wets himself because he's afraid. And this is like the one time John Coffey's ever shown any actual aggression toward anybody ever in his life. Because he's a nice fellow. He's just big and black, so they don't like him. And he's a good scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not hurt those girls. He was just there. He saw them and he tried to help. That's a good book. That was a really good book. I love reading. We've been reading. What you been reading?
I found Colleen Hoover.
Colleen Hoover.
So I decided to,
what's she look like?
She looks like a Texan.
Oh, really? Like she has a cooking show where she cooks with butter?
Yeah. Okay, so I decided...
Oh, you were absolutely right. If you asked me where this woman was from, I would probably tell you. She's probably from Texas.
Right?
Yeah, there's definitely a Texan look of her.
Okay. Anyway, so I decided I was in a book funk. I've read every Nicholas Sparks book.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. So I needed...
To the point where you don't realize that you've read it until you've...
Start
read
reading.
Like yeah. Halfway through. It's like, you know what? I think I've read this. And then you finish it and you're like, yeah, I read that before.
Yeah. So I decided to just go on New York Times bestsellers and look for those anytime I was at the library. One time, Colleen Hoover's book, It Ends With Us, was there. And I read that book in a day. One day. That was like, which I wasn't reading all day long either. So that's how quick I read it. Like, it was so good.
I remember you telling me about it. I was away for work.
And then the next time I went to the library, it just happened that the sequel was there. It starts with us. And oh my God, I just fell in love with her writing. Every time I go to the library, I check out one of her books. I believe I've read 5 or 6 in 3 weeks of her books.
That's a lot.
It's
a lot of Goodreads.
I also...
Are you using that Goodreads app thing?
Fuck, I forget about that.
Maybe we should make a podcast, a Goodreads.
No, we should, because I love reading.
And then we'll share it to the thing, because we've been reading a lot.
Uh-huh. I have been reading good books. They've been...
I liked that Nightfall book that you had me
read. In Nightfall. That was really good.
That was one of the best recommendations you've ever given to me. Like, it was
like
a fun...
for you, right?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I totally dig that. It's not like the best ever. It's definitely just Lost Boys.
Yeah.
But with better lore.
Yeah. It was fun though. It was...
And more interesting characters.
So I really loved it until the end. And then I was kind of let down. But
that's what Lost Boys does.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What else have I been reading?
Oh, while you're thinking on that, I've only been reading. I read a lot slower than you. I don't know why. I just read more slow. I don't read quickly. I never have. And I always used to feel bad about it. But then I realized, no, you read well. You just,
yeah,
because you're not reading fast. Everybody reads a different way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you consume information. Some people like to stick a thumb in their bum. I am one of them. I also like to read slowly. Those are two things about me. I have alopecia also, so there's three. man, I make alopecia a lot of who I am because it's so weird. I just don't think it's normal. And then also I have long hair usually, and I like the response that I get when I tell people I have alopecia, and then they look at me, where? It's like on my testicles.
Wouldn't that be nice, though?
Oh, God, it would be nice, though. Because it wouldn't just be hairless. It would be, because it's smooth. It is, mm-hmm, like when I get that patch on my chin.
It's like new skin there.
It's like baby skin.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's like, whoa, because you still have to shave around it. The razor just kind of goes quickly and glides across that part. It's like, whoa, didn't, mm-hmm, need to do that.
Yeah.
And it looks back and just like does a double take, looks at the bottle it's drinking, the razor does, that it's holding, and then looks back at the slick spot, is like, did I? And then decides to stop drinking. The razor decides on sobriety because of how weird it feels to glide across the alopecia spot on a face.
Lost me there. What are we talking about? Why are...
The razor blade. So you've got, you're a razor blade. You're shaving a face.
Why sobriety?
Okay, so you're a razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
You're shaving a face. It's a normal face. Lots of stubble, little tiny hairs coming out my face. It's a Bill Cosby line. God damn it. And then you slide it, and you don't realize that there's an alopecia areata barbae spot coming up, and all of a sudden, things just get really easy to go across. You're not picking up any tiny hairs. You're not having to cut anything. It's just, whoa. And then you stop. It stops the razor, and it looks back at that bare spot, that slick spot, and is like, what the fuck just happened?
Mm.
And then it looks at the bottle it's holding and does a double take back at that spot, and then decides to throw down that bottle and never drink again. It's all it takes for a drunkard in a movie to sober up, is to see something weird or to experience something they don't understand.
They change forever.
Careful, I fell earlier. favorite fucking line. He gets hit by a car in the beginning of the movie because a guy wasn't paying attention and hits him. He's not at fault. He didn't need to be careful. He couldn't have prevented it. But somebody's walking off a step and he's like, whoa, be careful. I fell earlier. Like they're connected. Like, oh yeah, there's a falling going around. Yeah, I caught falling. Careful, I fell the other day. It might happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I like dissecting a joke and just, why is that funny? And then just going too far into it. Because it's like something that you would think if you were a buzzed teenager. You'd be like, or a way that you would talk. It's like those perfect things. Family Guy did it perfectly when Stewie was drunk and then sat the bottle down on the hood of the car or something, and then like sets it down, like, and then doesn't walk away, like has his hands cradling to the side of it, not touching it like three or four times before he finally walks away. And there's an airplane happening. Or was I? before the airplane rudely interrupted me.
Can't remember. I like your eyebrows.
Thank you. You made them look really nice. I feel a lot better about my appearance when I look in the mirror after you having shaped my eyebrows to a shape that I find, you know, pleasing or aesthetically enhancing to my features.
Yeah, you look really good. It opens up your eyes a lot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. But what was that lady's name that wrote Nightfall? Suzanne Collins?
Collins, yeah.
I follow her on Instagram. She's living in Italy or something, and she posts like, oh, there's lots of cafe photos. But she used to live here in Arizona. Arizona. I think she was a
That's
teacher.
Cool that she's living her best life, you know?
Yeah. So I've been reading The Brothers Karamazov, which is, I like to read things that I get to be pretentious about. Like, oh yeah, I was reading Dostoevsky the other day. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know, that would have been so much more impressive if you pronounced the name correctly the first go. But honestly, I like it. I know that their work, these Russian novels, but like I read the one that I was in the short film of.
Yeah.
Master and Margarita by Bulgakov. It's like, why you're giving me way too much information. I don't need to know any of this right now. But they give you so much information than everything.
I think
just...
that's why you enjoy it so much, because that's how you tell stories.
Oh, yeah.
You give all of the information, every detail.
Well, it's like, why am I editing it? It's like, don't you want the truth? You want to know what happened, right? But then at the same time, they always like wrap everything up in this wonderful little package, and it's fun. So the Brothers Karamazov, it's about this guy who like kind of he toadied himself up to people who of influence and gained influence because of that. He's basically Trump. Yeah, that's right. Fyodor Karamazov is Trump, but
Gross.
Without the political stuff. He's just, yeah, all he cared about was looking rich and being disgusting. So he has these children with multiple women, and their mothers all die, and he has nothing to do with any of the children really until they're adults. They go off to live in their own lives. He gives them all a very small allowance and says, this is all I ever owe you, like 2,000 rubles or whatever it is. I don't know if it was a lot of money, because they say things. I know that these people are rich, but when people of class in like Russian novels and stuff are poor, it's really like They're not
actually poor.
Yeah, they're not like the serfs. They're not the peasants. They're just going to have to fire their housekeeper. It's that type of situation.
Right.
Or get a smaller place and keep their housekeeper. But he has these kids, and there's like a love triangle going on between Fyodor, who's the father, and Dmitri, who's the oldest son, and some woman, and then another woman who's his fiance, but he doesn't love, and who his brother Ivan actually does love. And so there's fighting, and there's all this drama happening, and people are having rumors about them. And then Alyosha is the youngest of these brothers, and he is like, he's the only one in the entire family who's not a scumbag, like who's not constantly trying to get laid or scam somebody or get drunk. In fact, when people talk about sex, he gets like uncomfortable and it makes him want to throw up. but he just wants to know everything. He wants to be as good as possible. And so he went to go to this monastery, and he's training under this great revered monk that everybody comes miles or from around the world to see and get blessed by him just to touch the hem of his garment. And this guy preaches a bunch of philosophy about life that's pleasant, and it starts setting up the argument of the whole thing. Is it like, what makes a person good? Also, is God real? Also, if God is real, where does the power, what's his power in on earth? All this shit. But then there's Fyodor Karamazov, who's just like, likes to stir the pot. He knows that he's gonna be fine. He's just gonna piss people off. He knows somebody would jump in and stop him from getting punched most of the time. At one point, Dmitri has already run into a room and tried to murder him and beat him to a pulp. But the other brothers, Alyosha and Ivan, have pulled him off and sent him running, because he was convinced that this woman that he's in love with, who does not love him, and I think she might be a prostitute that they're both in love with, the father and son. Although they would both punch me if I said that in the book. She's just playing them and just like wants to have, like, oh no, I'm just, you're all ridiculous and I'm using all of you. But Alyosha is this genuinely innocent person, and he's getting in the middle of it all, and the brothers are asking him to run errands and pass messages and all this. And because the dad respects him, sort of, I don't know. But the dad is on the back of the book. It says that he's one of the most vile characters in all of literature. And it's making a lot more sense to me now that I made the connection that he's Trump. Or he's just that type of a person.
Yeah.
Because Trump's not the first Trump. And I'm talking about that before he tried to be president, because he was just a gross, gross, gross bag. Anyway, what?
Pickled bag of gross.
Let's do a board game rundown.
Board game. So, we're learning Grail, and I'm trying really hard to enjoy it. It is a story game. What is it called? A campaign?
Campaign story game.
Oh my god, it's a lot, y'all.
It's not going to be that much soon. It's not going to be that much soon, because we'll know what we're doing, and okay, it'll just be going through the motions.
Listen, the first box is the size of 4 game board games. It's massive. And then there are 2 more boxes to go with it. It's like, intimidating.
It's like over $100 board game.
It is intense. And I'm trying. It may not be the type of game I enjoy, but
lean into the decision making.
I'm trying.
There's not something you're trying to win. You're just that character trying to get that.
Oh boy.
Lesser Goldfinch sighting.
That's cute. But the game that I keep thinking about that we played recently, was the Avatar game.
Oh my god. I can't, it was, who made that game? I keep talking and I'll look it up.
It was okay, so I haven't actually watched Avatar, but I know how important it is to you and
Fire Nation Rising.
But it was just such a fun game. Yeah, I was gonna say that doesn't sound right.
Crossroads of Destiny.
Let me see.
It does look like it might be Crossroads of Destiny.
Okay, well, anyway. Yeah, because you like
okay, the characters. Okay, yeah, because that's the book.
Yeah.
So you open each book. There's a book that serves as a map and also story context.
Anyway, each character was like able to do their bending and It was really fun, and I keep thinking about it. I want to play it again.
So, like, if you're Toph on that game, you will send an Earth attack, which means that you send a tile from where your character is, line of sight, across the board to knock down anybody in its path.
Right. Because that's how, like, you would bend the Earth, and it would knock anyone mm-hmm. down. So, anyway, really cool, like,
if you
details
don't...
and...
If you don't know what an earthbender is, it's basically how the house moves people around on Encanto. Like, that's how Toph's earthbending would work in this. Mm-hmm. And it does that on the board game because the tile just slides right across. Sorry I interrupted you, but love it.
It's just, that's the only game that, like, really stands out to me. I am trying with Grail. We have a new Wingspan
expansion pack
that I'm excited
Oceana.
To try. We love Wingspan. One of our favorite games, for sure.
There's a new food item on it, which is, it's nectar, because a lot of birds in the Oceania region consume nectar.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a slightly different rule, so I have to read up on that. Other than that, it's like, I mean, Wingspan is our game. It's our... We can play it in our sleep and just mm-hmm. find it relaxing. I
love that game.
I love a goddamn bird.
Let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap this up. I watched Barbie. I liked Barbie.
I loved Barbie. I was shocked that it made me emotional. But the attention to detail was beautiful. It brought back memories. It's hilarious. It was so much fun. Margot Robbie's beautiful. But
why is she always doing the splits?
Yeah. Great, great movie.
If you're wondering, like, how can a Barbie movie be good? It's just like, think back on how good the first Lego movie was. And it's like that. It's like, what is the world of Barbie? What is the world of Lego? Oh, it's that.
Yeah.
It's, and it's like, oh, shit, that's true. Yeah. Okay.
Will Ferrell in both of those.
Yeah, as the human connection.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Interesting. Good job, Will Ferrell. He was great in it.
He's pretty much great in everything.
I loved... Not everything he does is great. Oh no, Alan, what's his name?
Oh. not Jesse Sarah. Eisenberg.
Sarah. The not just, it's Michael Sarah.
George Michael Bluth.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching Dragon Ball Z Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And I have watched Dragon Ball Z so many fucking times, but it's always just been from when the Saiyans show up on Earth to the Namek saga ending when Frieza, ending the episode after Goku gets there. Because, like, there's a joke through all of Dragon Ball that's like, oh my god, I hope Goku gets here soon. And then it's like, you spend most of the show waiting for Goku to get there, and then he shows up and fights a little bit, does some cool stuff, and then dies, and then the others have to still do it on their own. But I had seen it on TV growing up, that same segment, over and over and over again, and then they never went past that on where I was able to see it.
That's interesting.
But I know that it went past that because right after that, a lot of crazy shit happens, like the androids show up, the Trunks comes back from the past or from the future. And I also know that they start doing a fusion, like where they combine each other. And I only saw Goku go Super Saiyan once, I think.
Mm.
That's all. But
so now, have you seen him do that more? Or?
No, I haven't gotten to that part yet. So Dragon Ball Z Kai, they took old Dragon Ball Z. It would be like three lines of dialogue, and then the rest of the episode would be them, and then clouds going, and then some dust, and then a bush ruffling.
Do you enjoy it?
I don't know. I really don't know. The character design is really cool. Goku looks cool. Mm-hmm. Like, the character of Goku just looks awesome. And it's fun. I don't know. I really don't know. The movie was terrible. The movie of it starred Spike from Buffy as Piccolo. Goku was played by Jimmy Steve from Shameless. And
oh yeah, I remember we watched that.
And Chi Chi was played by what's her name from Shameless? She was in the ice skating movie on Disney. That's my pull for her. Phantom of the Opera lady. What's her name? She plays Fiona on Shameless. What is her goddamn name?
Her.
I know, and she's awesome, and she's very talented and gorgeous and beautiful and a great singer, too. But she plays Chi-Chi. No, wait. She doesn't play Chi-Chi, sorry. She plays Bulma, who's the blue-haired one. That you saw on the show, and they made fun of her hairstyle, and she yells at everybody. But on the show, she just cut her hair, and it's the hairstyle that's hot when she's hot, when she's got that headband on. And for some reason on the spaceship, she's in her underpants and just yelling at everybody about the mess. And then and they're like, no, we've been training this whole time. This is your mess, Bulma. I don't know why she's so mean, but she always is. And she's going to somehow fall in love with Vegeta, I think, who just tried to destroy Earth. So let's see how that plays out. So it's a lot about Dragon Ball Z for a wrap-up.
Jesus.
Dragon Ball Z Kai. Oh, so Dragon Ball Z Kai took out all that superfluous shit and just kept what was essential. And then they re-released it a few years back. And then, yeah.
Cool.
It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So now they're on their way to Namek right now because Vegeta killed Piccolo because Piccolo was part of Kami, I think his name was Kami, shit, the protector of Earth, the guy who created the Dragon Balls on Earth. Well, Piccolo dies, he dies, so then they disappeared. Then there's no more Dragon Balls, so they can't wish their friends back. So now they decided, we're going to go to the planet where where Piccolo and Kami are from and find some more Dragon Balls. But you know what? Vegeta had that same idea. But you know what? Vegeta's boss, Frieza, also had that same idea. Now it's a race, and Goku, he's so beat up from the fight and pushing himself beyond the edge with a Kaioken times whatever he went to on that episode, beyond the one that was warned that he shouldn't exceed by King Kai. Anyway, he's back in bed, in traction, on Earth, but as soon as he gets ready, as soon as the next batch of Zenzu beans is prepared in a month or so, he's going to take one of those Zenzu beans and have his strength and his entire body completely healed instantly, and then he'll be on his way to Namek. And while he's on his way to Namek, because I've seen the show before, he's going to be training in a spaceship that allows him to adjust the gravity. And at one point, he's going to get to training at 100 times the Earth's gravity. You see, it was a big deal that back on King Kai's planet, that he was training at like 3 times the Earth's gravity or some shit like that. It's like, this place is heavy, but 100 times the Earth's gravity. So when he shows up on Namek, oh boy. Vegeta better be ready for a fight. Krillin could have killed Vegeta, you see, but Goku stopped him, and he's like, no, he's a really good fighter. I have to be able to fight him again. If you kill him, I'll never be able to fight him. I have to train harder and fight, because I have to fight. All he cares about is fighting. And a lot of people think that he has some developmental problems because all he He's just always happy and upbeat and just doesn't get what's happening around him, it seems. He's just like, oh, I can fight. And then occasionally he'll get mad, but like, he got hit on the head when he was a kid, and I think that's why he isn't an evil Saiyan. Because like, the Saiyans are like born warmongers that just want to destroy. Like, he was sent to Earth so that he, as a baby, like Superman was, but he was supposed to, like, wake up and take over Earth so that the rest of the Saiyans could come and take its resources. But you see, Goku got hit on the head, and now he doesn't... Oh, it's time for you to wake up. So Goku got hit on the head, and get this. He didn't want to take over Earth anymore. He just wanted to be a kid, and he was trained by this guy who adopted him named Gohan, who he named his kid after. And Gohan trained him to be one of the greatest fighters on Earth, and he continued to be, and then he became the greatest fighter on Earth, and then really throughout the universe, maybe. So there's a lot going on here, a lot happening.
Well, I'm glad you took the time to explain it in our outro.
I love you.
I love you.
Go listen to Led Zeppelin. Let's end this podcast by saying our favorite Led Zeppelin song. That's Immigrant Song. It's a good song. I think I like... Oh, it's so hard. I really like the Misty Mountain Hop. I really like, what is my other? I like the Stairway to Heaven. Like it's the kid went to a guitar center and they said that somebody got kicked out for playing Stairway to Heaven.
Why?
I think it's a joke. Like on Wayne's World, they go in. And Wayne picks up the guitar and plays Stairway to Heaven. And then the guy's like, hey, no. And then they point to the sign, says no Stairway to Heaven. And it's like, no stairway. Denied. Because it's like one of those songs that if somebody knows how to play guitar, they were going to go in and play Stairway to Heaven. Mm. Kind of like all the kids at our high school learned to play either Iron Man in guitar class. Or La Bamba. Those, like, I knew a lot of kids who took guitar at our high school, and those were the songs that I heard them playing in the hallways all the time.
Hmm.
Anyway.
I don't know either of them.
I've been streaming on Twitch. Watch me play Zelda slowly. Not Twitch. I switched from Twitch to YouTube. YouTube. It's not just for tubes anymore. YouTube. I'm Mr. Johnny. No, I'm not. Fuck. Johnny B was raised by TV. Johnny B was raised by TV.
And you can find me on Instagram at AnotherManicMJ.
Also go buy our friend Christian's book. It's called... What's it called? Shit.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Because I thought you knew. Shit, now this part's in it. What are they going to say? I'll just, Christian's book, what's it gonna see? Maybe it's on Instagram. Talk more about Dragon Ball Z for me.
Damn.
Oh man, I was hoping that we wouldn't have to cut anything out of this. All right. The Invasion of the Gobble Varmint.
Okay, like, redo it.
All right. And go buy our friend Christian's book. You heard him, you know, on this podcast once or maybe soon, depending on how I decide to release things, because there's a backlog.
Ooh.
Remember, we recorded an episode with Christian after we recorded the 500 Greatest Albums episode.
We're a little backlogged. That's okay. Well, go check out Christian's book.
The Invasion of the Gobble Varmint. It's good. So Christian writes middle grade books, and they're fun. They're all in magical universes that have some weird dynamic, and Christian has such a silly voice that
yeah, I mean, it's called the invasion of the gobble varmint. Like, come on, it's gonna be a good time.
If you like the type of silly, youth-friendly writing, like Neil Gaiman,
yeah,
or Terry Pratchett, Christian's your type of writer. So go check out The Invasion of the Gobble Varmint. We will put it in a link thing. And
that's just fun. We're going to go now.
We're going to go also. And I hope you don't die.